From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. It was an operation on the outskirts of Boise for 101 years. Built in 1870, the old Idaho Penitentiary was the site of 10 executions, 500 escaped attempts, female prisoners, and some very famous people who spent time behind walls. But surprisingly, there aren't a lot of pictures of people inside or outside those prison gates. The Idaho State Archives has prisoner mugshots, and they have a small collection of photos that were taken inside the prison. But the Idaho State Historical Society is working to uncover new resources, in this case, pictures, to tell the complete story of the old Idaho Pen. So the old Pen is launching a crowdsourcing project, and they want your help. They want you to find pictures that maybe are in your family collection. So here to tell us more are J.C. Brain, Visitor Services Coordinator at the Idaho State Historical Society, and Interim Historic Sites Administrator Anthony Perry. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you, Gemma.
Hi, thank you. Yeah.
Well, I do have to tell you that I'm a bit of a true crime fanatic, and I love the old Pen. I used to live pretty close to it, actually, and I would take my kids, even when they were little, on tours of it. So, you know, scare them straight. But anyway, I digress. I love the old Pen. I love that you are doing this. So with that said, as I mentioned, it's been around for more than 100 years. And as I said, it was on the outskirts of Boise when it was built. I mean, now it's, you know, what, 2 miles from downtown. It's right off of Warm Springs. So why aren't there more pictures inside and outside of the old Pen? And maybe, J.C., you can answer that.
Yeah, so I think we're lucky to have the photographs that we do have. And you'll look at some of the photos, for example, of the women's ward that that we do have. A lot of them, you know, don't have people that are facing the camera. You know, they're looking away from the camera, or they're shielding their face. I think, you know, it's for a lot of folks, it wasn't the highlight of their lives, right? And so so that definitely limited the number of photographs that we have, as well as just the time period that it came about. When the site opened in 1872, they weren't quite doing mugshot photographs yet. You know, that really developed, pardon the pun, around, you know, when the site opened. And so I think we're playing catch up a little bit.
So what kind of pictures do you have right now? Because I do know, I mean, with the last probably 10 or 15 years ago, you kind of did do some revamping of the old Pen. And there are these, when you walk into some of the cell blocks, you do have some pictures, or at least you have some stories of some of the prisoners that spent time there.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what are you hoping to find now within people's collections? Like, what kinds of pictures?
Photos of basically when family members would visit, if any photos were taken at that time, and maybe stories attached to those photos. We have had some visitors who actually sent in a photo of their great-grandfather, and it was snapped the day of his release. You can see the women's ward behind him. He's standing in front of his vehicle, and there's a look of hope and joy on his face. He's leaving prison and going to start his new life again.
And Anthony, is this the story of Nathaniel Gardner? He was, as you said, he spent time in the Pen for stealing a saddle. Correct. And this was one of his great grandchildren who had been doing some research and came to the old Pen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And over the last 2 years during COVID, a lot of family have been doing genealogy projects and collecting these old items and photographs and sending stories into us and requesting more information about their loved ones. So this is definitely one of those projects that came our way.
What was it like to see this picture of Nathaniel, as you described, Anthony, where, you know, there was this, you said this, you could see there was joy on his face, and it was literally as he was released after spending a year behind bars.
it humanizes it. And that's what we really want to do in the future as we, you know, reimagine and reinterpret the site, is to really show the human story, the human element. When you visit, it's a bunch of empty buildings, but if you can see the people that filled them and, you know, see that humanity in them, it can really improve your experience at the site.
Mm. So JC, talk about this project that you're putting together, this crowdsourcing project for the Old Penn. You're kind of calling it a reimagining project.
Yeah, the Idaho State Historical Society has been working, starting with the past year, with focus groups and community members to begin the process of reimagining our visitor experience and the exhibits that we have in order to kind of align everything and utilize our space and make sure that we're doing the best job of telling these stories of the human beings that lived here and worked here, and then bringing that to guests again in a new visitor experience in the near future. And as we do that, we want to know, we want to get a sense of what is out there as far as the resources that we maybe haven't utilized yet or haven't tapped into. And as Anthony said, some of the best stories and some of the best photographs that we've come across have been from people who have sent them in from their own personal collections. And so we're getting the word out to the community to, as they go through their collections and as they do their own genealogical research, to share with us what we have that might better tell this story.
Mm. You know, I think when people think of a prison, I mean, you think of how many inmates are there. You think of, you know, in regards to the old penitentiary, I mean, there were hundreds of executions that happened there. There were executions. There were hundreds of escape attempts. You know, why, JC, do you think there is such an appeal from the general public to know more about this kind of history?
You know, it has to do with the increasing public awareness of issues of corrections and social justice, and the hope that, you know, we can find answers to these questions that are on the minds of everyone in society. And so we've got this amazing historical resource, this site that operated for 101 years. And we'd love to be able to use this site as a way to inform the future using stories from the past, right? And you know, it does have a lot of dark history. There's, as you mentioned, 10 executions on site, as well as a number of other fatal incidents. But there's also a lot of hope and progress that came out of it too. And so we want to take both angles and put them together to tell a full narrative.
And Anthony, there were some more famous or maybe infamous prisoners that were at the Old Penn. I mean, yet their stories are still incomplete. Why do you think that is? In particular, when we think of these more recognizable people who came through the penitentiary.
You know, like Harry Orchard, for instance, is probably our most famous. He was an assassin for mining unions and assassinated former governor of Idaho. And it's that extra interpretation and extra research that we need to do and to complete and really share that story in its entirety. And I think photographs, they provide this glimpse into that time period and the life that he would have lived out here.
You know, I have to say, JC, when you said there are also these stories of hope that maybe people don't know about, the one that has always resonated with me, and frankly, my kids still talk about it, is Dennis the Cat, this cat that lived at the penitentiary for years. Because, you know, I think sometimes we have this idea that prisoners are monsters and not people. And yet they all cared for this cat. And, you know, maybe these are some of the stories that need to be, you know, remembered as well, not just the dark.
Yeah, if anyone out there happens to have a photo of Dennis the cat, I think we would all jump for joy. We have some great illustrations that the incarcerated folks who worked on the prison newspaper created, and that tell us, you know, what he looked like and what he meant to the prisoners. And that's absolutely right. There's Dennis brought out the best and showed the capabilities of these people who found themselves on a path that, you know, most anyone could end up on, right? And so so not only did Dennis resonate with them, he resonates with us now as historians, in order to show that the people behind bars weren't necessarily an other, you know, they latched onto that compassion, just like you and I would, right?
Mm-hmm. And so I know that you have, you know, this picture we talked about of Nathaniel Gardner from one of his great grandchildren. Have you received any other pictures so far from folks?
One collection came actually from one of the longest serving wardens, Lewis Clapp, and his son wrote a memoir, The Warden's Son, about growing up here at the site. And the family actually collected and provided us all these photos of the family, you know, interacting both with the prisoners in the institution day by day, but them just kind of the vacations that they had and the different things that they were doing while living and working here at this site.
So if a person finds a picture, you know, what do they do? How do they get it to... Does it go to the Historical Society? Kind of walk us through that process, JC.
Yeah, they can reach out to obviously either of us, but there is a contact listed on our website, shsoldpen@history.idaho.gov. And again, that's shsoldpen@ishs.idaho.gov. And, or they can give us a call here at the site, and we can set up a time to meet with you, or we can correspond digitally and then hopefully find a way to discuss these with people and to share them.
JC, what are you hoping to do with these pictures? I mean, if you could tell us what your grand vision is, what would that be?
We are hoping to utilize the photos to tell a broader story and a more complete story of the site through the upcoming re-envisioning and reimagining of the site's exhibits and history. And so, you know, we share photographs in many ways, through exhibits, through social media, through publications, and if we are able to access these stories, we can better educate folks regarding the history of the site and tell a more complete story.
And Anthony, are you hoping this crowdsourcing project will you know, be able to help you find maybe some of those hidden pieces of history of the old pen that, you know, just those uncompleted stories, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. These photos will help us, you know, understand the evolution of the site, you know, the physical developments of the site, the development of, you know, criminal justice and law and order and punishment in the state and in the American West, like on a national level. These photos can help us really understand what incarceration was like and help us improve that understanding and humanize it, of course.
Mm-hmm. And I must say that it is, it's, I don't know if the right word is a treasure, to have the old pen, you know, in the shape that it is in. I mean, we do know that, you know, back in the early 70s, as it was closing down, there was that massive fire that happened, JC, but you know, to have as much of it still standing that it is, and then to be able to fill in those gaps of history. I mean, truly, you know, do you feel like there's, I mean, a real, almost like a hidden treasure that we're trying to uncover?
I think that's a great way to put it. I think that based on some of the surprises we've had in the recent past, we would love to see what else is out there. And I think that there's, with as long as the site operated and how many people visit it these days, there's very few people in the area and in Idaho that don't have a personal connection to the site. And so we're asking everyone to check what you've got and exercise those connections and see if there's anything that can better serve the community.
Well, I have to say, both of my kids in fourth grade did, you know, Idaho State history, and they got to have a field trip of the old Idaho Pen. And it is still one of the things that they both talk about so much. So I appreciate all of the work that you do and that we keep this site, not just the way it is, but to continue to fill in those missing pieces. So thank you both for your time today.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you, Gemma.
Absolutely. We've been talking with J.C. Brain, Visitor Services Coordinator at the Idaho State Historical Society, and Interim Historic Sites Administrator Anthony Parr. We've been talking about their new crowdsourcing project. This is what they want: your pictures that are connected to the old Idaho State Pen. We will, of course, put more information on our website about this, boisestatepublicradio.org. Hopefully you can dig through some old pictures. Maybe you'll find a little treasure there. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.